Well, good evening, everybody. My name's David Litt. I'm in charge of sales and marketing for Purium. So excited to have you on the line. We've got author of the Green Foods Bible, owner and founder of Purium, David Sandoval. He's going to be talking about green foods from the beginning of time. So he is, you know, the expert on green foods. He wrote the book on green foods, the Green Foods Bible, and this is one of his favorite subjects, one of the most important subjects. It's really the DNA of our company is green. It's all about green foods, superfoods, and Dave's got lots to share, as he always does every Wednesday night. So I'm going to turn the call over to David Sandoval.
Well, good evening, David. Can you hear me?
I can. You got a little background noise, but I can hear you all right.
I apologize for the background noise. It seems to be the story of my life these days. But I am in a good cell range. We should not lose contact at all. And I'm really happy for that. And I want to say thank you. And you know, just remind everybody that this is what I call dinner with Dave. You know, maybe on the East Coast, it's a late dinner. Maybe in Hawaii, it's a little bit early. In New Zealand, maybe we're having breakfast. Who knows? But either way, every, you know, week, my mom used to try to make sure that the whole family got together for at least one dinner a week. Everybody had busy schedules, going to school, work, friends. But once a week, we could get together. We could spend that family moment. And I want to say thank you to each of you. Because for the last 4 weeks, it's been pretty much the Dr. Luca call, and I really love that. I did. But it wasn't quite the same as it is when we get to spend a little more slower time together like we're going to do tonight and really get in-depth in the issues that are really important to us, to me, to the future of our planet, and to the past as well. You know, we look to the past to learn about the future, and that's something that we can't deny. So once again, my name is David Sandoval. I'm one of the owners and founders of Purium Health Products. So excited, unbelievably excited that our convention, our national convention, is less than 1 month away, 3 weeks from today. I will be getting on a plane and headed to Orlando. And oh my goodness, I'm so excited to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Purium faithful there. If you have not gotten your ticket, it is not too late. Get yourself there. I will be disappointed if you don't and thrilled if you do. Tonight, we're going to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart for a number of reasons, not only because my mentor, Ann Wigmore, set me on the path of appreciation and understanding and reverence for all things green. And we say, you know, well, what is this reverence for all things green? You know, well, it isn't just me. Historically, there has been a reverence for all things green. I'll give you an example. In Chinese characters, which are thousands of years old, the writing, Chinese writing, the symbol for grass, is an altar with a man on his knees bent in front of the altar with his head down, holding the grass up to the altar as if it's an offering. That is the symbol for grass. In ancient Hebrew, in Aramaic, in all ancient languages, the spiritual understanding of grass is evident. And so I could tell you that green foods, those things that contain chlorophyll, they hold a very, very, very special place in the history of this planet, in the future of this planet. And so in order for everybody to understand what I am about to share with you, which is some really deep stuff, I want you to be open-minded. I don't want you to believe that it conflicts with anything that you've learned in science or religion or anything. This is all congruent with God's plan, with nature's plan, and you'll see the perfection and the beauty in it when I explain it to you, and I hope that you will. First, you have to understand that the history of our planet was one where there was not always the stable, you know, continental and sort of environmental, excuse me, atmospherical, you know, composition that there is today. In other words, we didn't always have the land masses, and the air and the water were not as they are today. So many, many years ago, billion years ago, billions of years ago, the earth was not containing a single life form that was aerobic. Today, 99% or more of all life forms on the earth are aerobic. So at a time when they were zero aerobic life forms, there are now 99% of all life forms are relying upon oxygen, okay, in order to live. Now, this is really important because when we look at the very survival of our planet, we look at the very survival of the inhabitants of our planet, we must understand that this direct connection to chlorophyll, the green pigment that's in plants, cannot be denied. So let's talk about this in depth, but hopefully in a way that will make it easy to understand. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine an earth where it rains a lot, but there's not much, not rains a lot, excuse me. The earth's atmosphere, there's a lot of volcanic activity, is what I meant to say. It's raining down with phosphorus and nitrogen. The atmosphere is filled with those chemicals that come from volcanic activity, nitrogen and phosphorus and ash, which is minerals, you know, and those things are filling up the atmosphere and in many cases blocking out the sun even because there's so much ash in the air. And during this time, there wasn't as many salts in the oceans. The oceans were more fresh water at the top and more heavy water or salty water at the bottom. And so because of this, a unique thing happened. You had water that was saturated with the fallout from the atmosphere, the rain, as I said, of nitrogen and phosphorus and potash. And you see that this is going into the into the upper part of the ocean and creating a very fertile or nutrient-rich medium for growth. And so many, many plants attempted to grow but were unable to, and the reason why, you need to keep your imagination caps on. I hope I'm not getting too deep here, but this is really cool stuff. The reason why is because there was ultraviolet and radioactive light that was coming from the sun that was not blocked by anything like it is today. There was no ozone layer. Our ozone layer is what blocks ultraviolet and radioactive light from entering our atmosphere. And there was no ozone layer because the ozone layer is created through photosynthesis. And there were no green plants to create photosynthesis until one single plant form began to grow, and it's called chlorella. So chlorella was the first aerobic life form. It was the first plant that actually was creating oxygen. So chlorella performed photosynthesis, and the reason they call it chlorella is because there's so much chlorophyll. And chlorophyll is that green pigment that we see that makes plants green. And that pigment performs a series of chemical reactions that are so cool because they take a bunch of nasty stuff that would really hurt us if we tried to digest it, ultraviolet light, radioactive light, the chemicals that are coming from the air and, you know, from the volcanoes and such. So you have all of this carbon, you know, monoxide, and all of a sudden you have, a plant that could deal with all that. This single plant eats up ultraviolet light. It eats up carbon dioxide. It eats up these nasty, toxic elements and turns around, combines them with sunlight and water, and literally just creates this miraculous thing. Chlorophyll is a miraculous substance. It's a miraculous structure. It is an amazing and incredible piece of work. Scientific, amazing work. So if you want to believe that, you know, and I do, that, you know, that there is a God, well, maybe, you know, you want to believe that there is, you know, that there is a, this was created on that day and that was created on that day. Well, the atmosphere was created when God made chlorella. That's when the air was created, okay? So all of a sudden, this life form began to proliferate on Earth, this massive amount of oxygen-producing life form. And that's what started it all, you guys. This oxygen-producing life form called chlorella began to spit ozone into the upper atmosphere. It began to spit oxygen into the lower atmosphere. It began to feed life forms and become a protective umbrella for other aerobic life forms to develop. And so this was a huge, huge leap forward for our planet, the introduction of chlorophyll. Now you notice chlorella sounds a lot like chlorophyll. That's because there's so much chlorophyll in chlorella that they literally named it after chlorophyll. They just changed a couple letters. So chlorella, chlorophyll. And so this is really important to understand, because chlorophyll is the reason why we're able to nourish our bodies. If it wasn't for chlorophyll, then plants would not have protein. They wouldn't have minerals. They wouldn't have carbohydrates. They would not be food if it wasn't for the chemical reactions of chlorophyll. So stop to think about it. Chlorophyll creates the oxygen that we breathe and the very food that we eat. Now that, my friends, is a powerful, powerful, powerful phytochemical. Now, I'm about to invite David Litt back, because I don't know, but I believe that we have winners for convention tickets. Maybe that promotion is over.
We have winners.
So as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you, in a nutshell, the difference between chlorella and spirulina and wheatgrass and sea vegetables, and show you how each one of them has an amazing specific purpose in the spectrum of green foods, in that full green spectrum of green foods. We're going to go through it, why alfalfa is different than wheatgrass, and why different than barley grass, and barley grass different than chlorella, and chlorella different from spirulina. And that's coming up in one moment. This is David Sandoval, but that's the least important thing you're going to hear tonight. Here is David Litt with our winner.
Okay, cool. I'm going to put it in the Q&A mode. If you hear your name called, just hit *6. All right. Well, congratulations, consultant from Colorado, my home state, Hope Ellison. Hope, if you're on the line, hit *6. Going once, going twice. Hope, you on the line?
I hope you are.
I hope you are. If not, I've got another winner. She is a crown from Florida, April Nibel. April, *6 if you're on the line.
Hey, David. It's April. Can you hear me?
I can. Hey, congratulations.
Awesome. It's exciting. Thank you.
All right. Well, good, good. Well, I knew you were going to be coming to convention 100%, and now you're coming 100% for free.
You know it. I wouldn't miss it for the world. So excited. And you guys, talk to everybody. Someone from 4th of July, get to spend that time with family you don't always see, and there it was.
Awesome. Oh, somebody from 4th of July is when you who you enrolled. Okay, well, good. Well,
that's who I enrolled.
Nice. Well, I'm in the, we're in the middle of Dave's call, so I'm going to jump back. But congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll take care of you. All right,
awesome,
Dave, I'm putting it back in the present.
Can't wait to see you at convention.
You too, David. Love you guys. Thanks.
All right. All right, you're good to go. Back in presentation mode, Dave.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Congratulations to April. I'm telling you, convention is going to be like, I mean, literally, it's going to be when everything changes and starts getting better. Not that it's not been good up till now, but we got some plans, and you're going to be excited about what Purium will become. So anyway, tonight, one thing we're always going to be, and that's the best superfood company the world's ever seen. And one of the reasons why is because we've got it going on when it comes to green food. And green foods are the most healing thing on the planet. And so, you know, that means that we've got a pretty good shot at this, you know. So let's start with some basics, okay? Green plants, edible green plants, there's about probably, I don't know, 1,000 of those or more on Earth. And out of those, some are better than others. Some are like the superstars of green plants. So we could talk about vegetables. Let's talk about vegetables. Like if you just go to your garden variety vegetables, you look at things like broccoli and cabbage. These are super green foods. Parsley and cilantro. These are really amazing green foods. And broccoli's high in protein. Cabbage is great for, you know, healing ulcers and digestion and all of that. But when we start getting into, and we love to include those in our mixes, by the way, in our blends, you know, that whole spectrum of green foods, we love to include the cabbages and the kale, parsley, and we put those in. Those are what we call the superfoods of the garden. And each one has its own unique quality. For example, parsley and cilantro chelate heavy metals, and they help heal sores in your mouth. And, you know, and broccoli, it could be 25% protein, and you can eat a lot of it. You can eat a lot of broccoli. So if you're a vegan bodybuilder, I'm telling you, you're going to want to eat a lot of broccoli because it detoxifies your liver while it feeds protein through your liver. That's pretty darn cool. And the way it does that is with some sulfur compounds that are the reason why cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts, why they smell a little bit, is because of that sulfur that's really good for you. So if you ever go to sulfur hot springs, that sulfur penetrates your body and relieves all types of aches and pains. Well, the sulforaphane in these sulfur-containing vegetables does the same thing. And we include those ultimate. I know a lot about your garden vegetables. And when you look at our blends, for example, you know, what we call best of greens, right now it has that amazing spectrum of greens like no other green food ever has. But that includes the garden variety vegetables, if you would, but only the superstars of the garden. Now, next, let's go to the ocean. Do you know that certain, you know, plants like sea kelp and sea dulse could be harvested from very clean areas and even be certified organic because our oceans are polluted. So you have to be careful of the inlets. Inlets are protected, and depth of water is important. So we use deep, private sort of, you know, inlets. Now, the oceans are always going to be on some level polluted, but the purest areas in the ocean can be cultivated, and this is where you could get your, you know, ocean-grown sea vegetables. Now, my favorite are sea kelp and sea dulse. Now, each one of them has its own purpose, but sea kelp is a nice source of iodine. And iodine is important, one, for keeping your hair color. All hair is on some level colored by red pigments. It's just how many red pigments you have determines how dark your hair is. So between iodine and, of course, copper, which are commonly found in sea vegetables. You know, sea vegetables are great for your hair. They're great for your thyroid. If you have an underactive thyroid, taking iodine is highly recommended. And so sea kelp and sea dulse, a couple of my favorite vegetables for their mineral content, for their iodine content. you know, also for their fucoid content, which helps, you know, eliminate unhealthy fats in the body and toxins in the body. And from the sea vegetable side, I love those. But sea vegetables are different than algaes. Algaes are not all the same either. So let's take my two favorite algaes. Spirulina. Spirulina grows in semi-salty water. Spirulina has a soft glycogen cell wall. Spirulina is 65% highly digestible vegan protein. Spirulina is, spirulina is completely rich in marine omega fatty acids, the same that you find in salmon, but they're from a vegan form. It has B1, B2, B3, B6, even B12, loaded with vitamin C and vitamin E and selenium. Vitamin E is the ultimate multivitamin, the ultimate prenatal vitamin, the ultimate survival food, the ultimate athlete's food. I mean, it's great for weight loss and energy, and it's not the same as chlorella. Chlorella is a single-cell algae. Chlorella grows in freshwater. And chlorella has a hard cell wall, not a soft cell wall. But chlorella detoxifies heavy metals. Chlorella helps normalize the growth of cells and stabilizes the growth of cells. Chlorella is an amazing regenerator, rejuvenator, detoxifier of the human body. There's almost nothing like it. There is nothing else like it on the planet. It is the most stable, single ribonucleic acid that science has ever seen, and the stability of its ribonucleic activity translates directly, its RNA translates directly to the vitality of our DNA, and that's undeniable. So spirulina and chlorella are both amazing. They are, but they're just not the same. Now, what about the grasses? Is wheatgrass and barley grass and oat grass, are they the same? Are they the same as alfalfa, which isn't a grass at all? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, esoterically speaking, barley grass seems to be better for women, and wheatgrass seems to be better for men, and I don't mean that to be an absolute. Here's what I'm talking about. First of all, historically, you see that barley, when growing in the field, has been described like a woman. It's very soft-looking. It waves in the wind. It's been said to resemble a woman walking. And wheat is a very, there's no other way to say it, but a very phallic symbol, a very, very stiff and upright and very, you know, direct and masculine-looking. And it's always been associated with male fertility. Both wheat and oats have been associated with male fertility. So it isn't surprising that when women who are breastfeeding drink the barley juice, they find that their breast milk becomes abundant. And while it is helpful to drink wheatgrass, and it is not, doesn't create quite the abundant or sweet taste in the mother's milk. And, of course, wheatgrass tends to have more antioxidants, and barley grass tends to have more carotenoids, which is really good for skin, the elasticity of skin, the beauty of skin. And both in the Graminae family and both nearly identical, they do have some differences. Again, with I would say the barley being a more feminine quality, the wheat being a more masculine quality, and the oat grass being somewhere in the middle with both masculine and feminine qualities. But alfalfa is completely different. Alfalfa does not live only 1 year, as cereal grasses do. Alfalfa could live up to be 100 years. And thus it is actually called the father of all foods, because it lives older than every other green vegetable plant. Now, its roots could go up to 40 feet deep in the soil, and it is a nitrogen-fixing plant. It actually creates abundant nitrogen in the soil in which it grows. It's 40% protein, even higher than broccoli. I'm not sure that you would eat as much, but it is 40% protein. and most importantly, one of the most alkalizing foods on the planet. It's also known to have the Wooten factor, an anti-inflammatory protein that people literally used to do nothing but take alfalfa leaf tablets to relieve their arthritic pain. Now, we're not making any medical claims here. I'm just giving you the history of these plants. And so, as you can see, alfalfa is much different than cereal grasses, but they have similar qualities. They have chlorophyll and vitamins and minerals, etc. But alfalfa is great for alkalizing. Alfalfa is great as a source of protein and again, as an anti-inflammatory. I don't think we're allowed to say that anymore. The FDA keeps changing the rules, but as an aid for people, you know, who may worry about joint health, you know, maybe that's a safe way to say it. But the bottom line is that all of these plants are slightly different, and that's why I call it a spectrum, a green spectrum. If you were to hold like a, you know, a prism up to the sun and you see all the different colors that come out, well, the greens and the blues are abundant. There are so many different green and blue-green plants. And spirulina is a blue-green plant. Chlorella is just a green plant. And so when you have this incredible abundance of pigments, when you have this incredible abundance of life force energy that ties directly back to the purpose of remineralizing our soil, of nourishing our plants, of creating oxygen, of creating ozone, literally being the stabilizing force of our planet. And 80%, 90% of the calories consumed by all living creatures on Earth are green leaves. They are the basis of the food chain. So let me leave you with a thought. In the Essene Gospels that were interpreted by Zekeli, who also interpreted the Dead Sea Scrolls for the Catholic Church, he interpreted the writings of Jesus when he was with the Essenes in the desert for 40 days at a time. And the Essenes asked Jesus, they said, when we seek healing from the Heavenly Father, how should we address him? And Jesus said, cast not your eyes to the sky, but to the ground and to the humble grass that lay beneath your feet, the food of the cattle. Pick up those tender leaves and chew them. And when you do, you will release the angels of the air, the angels of the earth, the angel of the sun, and the angel of the water. And those angels that were sent by my Father will heal you. And so chew these leaves, but spit out the fiber, for you have not stomachs like the cattle. And when you chew and absorb the juice from within the plants, then you release the healing angels. These are words that were written many years after I dedicated my life to teaching wheatgrass therapy and green food as a healing food. So if you don't believe the historical texts of the ancient languages, if you don't believe the historical significance of chlorophyll and the stability of our planet, if you don't believe the words of Jesus Christ himself, you know, then I don't know that my words could convince you. But I will tell you this, I'm all about the green, my friends, and I don't mean the money, I mean the green food. I'm all about being green, living green, and eating green. And I want to thank you for being on the phone with me tonight. I want to remind you that we've got green foods on our special. Spirulina, wheatgrass, barley grass, look for these specials. They're amazing. And I want to thank you again for being with me tonight for this little Dinner with Dave conversation.